Tonight's shir, Parshas Bo. Laman Sipir Shmi B'chol Haaretz. Chasam Sofer, when he brings down in his Sfarim, he quotes sometimes of Yaakov Emden, his Sefer, the Shailas Yaivetz. So it's interesting because he writes it, spells it differently. The real way of spelling it, Shailas Yaivetz, Shin Aleph Lametav. Yaivetz. But he writes it Shin Yud Lametav. A Yud instead of an Aleph. Very strange. Why wouldn't he spell it? He knows how to spell. So Rav Shmuel Vosner, he says the reason why the Chasam Sofer writes it Shailas Yaivetz Shin Yud instead of Shin Aleph is because the Chasam Sofer Dafka wanted to write Shin Yud Lametav. Why? Because Shilat is the Rashi Tevis of Shivis Yashem Lenegdi Tamid. And Chasam Sofer figured, he said, okay, look, it sounds the same, Shailas, Shilas, it sounds very similar. And Chasam Sofer wanted to mention Hashem as much as he could. And therefore, where he could take the opportunity to write Shilat, Shin Yod Lametaf, Shiviz Hashem, Lenegdi Tamid, he took the opportunity to do so. And some say the Tzomet, the junction that we live by here, Tzomet Shilat, is a Yeshuv Shilat, Moshav Shilat. They say that that's who was named for this, the Rashi Tevis, Shivis Yashem Lenegdi Tamid. So, very often, we open up our eyes, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Maisa, and there was a building site where they had some trailers where they, very often you see it there, at the building site have trailers where they're for Michirot, for sales, where they do this, people come in, you know, when they want to buy apartments. And behind them is the, you know, their building. So there was one such building site, and a crane was working behind them, you know, big huge crane. And all of a sudden, something happened, and a potential tragedy. The arm of the crane broke, and it came crashing down, where? Right on the trailer, where they were doing the sales. And everybody knew there were these two guys that were working there, you know, Kavur, they were the whole day doing the sales. And people were like, they said, oh, you know, that's it. I mean, it's no way, you can't survive this. So they called quickly, of course, the ambulance and the Hatzalah came, whatever. And they thought, you know, they're scared to look what's inside. But Hashem's chesed came through once again. And what happened? Exactly a minute before the arm came crashing down, these two men were in the office and they saw a truck come to make a delivery for the, you know, the building site. Some building materials. So the two of them said, let's have a little competition here. Let's see which one of us can run out and reach the driver with a cup of water first. Do a chesed. You know, give him a cup of water. So they said, okay, they each took a cup of water and they ran out to give him a drink. Exactly at that moment, as they ran out to do a chesed, boom, that's when the arm came down and crushed the trailer and they both survived. Yad Hashem. Okay, the next story is somewhat gruesome, so I apologize in advance. But very powerful. He brings it on the pasuk, "Vayasam Elai Rachas Amavus." Is that take away this death? This story goes back in a small town in Russia, more than 150 years ago, and there was a blood libel against the Jewish people. It unfortunately has been our history. And behind this blood libel was this priest, this Christian priest. And he took into custody 10 yidden, which he, you know, claimed was behind the atrocity, quote unquote, that was done, and they deserved to get the death penalty. Grab 10 Jews. So the day of when the execution was supposed to take place, the priest announced. He told everybody, including these 10 prisoners, he said that he's going to give them grace. He let them off on the condition that they convert. If they convert to Christianity, he won't kill them. So the Rav of the community gathered all the Yidden together in Shul, and he had a Yom Tefillah, day of praying. And what were they praying? They're praying that these 10 Jews shouldn't give in to the priest, and they should be strong, stand strong in their Yiddishkeit, and be willing to be Moser Nefesh, even if it means being Moser Nefesh, to give out their life and Chas V'Shalom not to convert. They should be Zocher to become the Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. So they were davening, and then the Rav told somebody to bring 10 candles, like near neshamas, and put it on the bima, and connected these people that were captured. No, he's going to light them. So he lit, where, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, fifth, lit 9 of them, and the 10th candle he didn't light. So the people in the kehillah started asking, well, why didn't you light the last one? So the Rav said, well, it's like this. He says, 9 out of the people that were taken custody, they're old men, they're tzaddikim, they live a life of Torah and Yira, whatever. So, chances are, you know, they're going to not give in to the priest, they're going to be Moser Nefesh, and anyways, they're very old, and they're tzaddikim, and they, you know, they realize the Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, whatever. So, not too worried about them. They're probably going to come through and be Moser Nefesh. That's 9. The 10th, though, happens to be a young man. His name was Chaimka. Chaimka the Bala Gala, they used to call him. He used to be a wagon driver. Very simple, simple young man. And he said, look, he's young. He's not a tzaddik. He's a simpleton. And unfortunately, you know, I can't believe he's going to be, you know, stand strong and give up his life for this. So that's why I didn't light his candle. All of a sudden, after the rabbi explained this, the kehillah heard a shriek, a scream come from the Ezer's Nashi. Who was it? Chaimka's mother. And she screamed down. She says, no, no. She says, please, Yidden, daven for my son. Daven for my son. Even though he's my only son, and I love him dearly, but chas v'shalom that he should give in and convert. And please, daven for him that he should be Moser Nefesh and die al Kiddush Hashem. Please, please. Everybody heard this. They're like, you know, so they said, fine, they dove in hard. Anyways, time for the execution took place, and they asked, you know, priests asked each one at a time, are you willing to convert? Not. And one after the other said, no, nothing doing, chas v'chalila, we'll die al kiddush Hashem, and one after the other he killed him. Came to Chaimka, same thing. He says, Chas v'shalom, I'm not converting. Do what you want, I'm not converting. Now, the execution that took place was beheading. They cut their heads off. The guillotine. So all 10 were killed, including Chaimka, who, as we said, stood strong. And the priest, Yimach Shemo, he took all the 10 heads, and he put them in a bag, and he came to the shul, and he threw it into the shul. Here, threw the bag of heads in the shul. After this happened, the mother of Chaimka ran down from Ezer's Nashi, opened the bag, hoping, praying to see her son's head in there, that he was Zohar. So she looked through, and sure enough, of course, her son's head was there. She picked up her son's head, she kissed it, and she thanked the Kodesh Baruch Hu for helping her son, Mizocha, to die al Kiddush Hashem. Pasuk says, Na'alechem v'raglechem. So the Meiser of Zilberstein, he was once walking early morning on the street, and he sees something very strange. He notices a man who's sitting on a bench on the side of the street. The guy looked like very upset, like something bothered him tremendously. He's like furious, and by himself, he's like all upset. And he sees the man taking looked like a shoelace, ripping it, throwing it on the floor, to taking a shoe throwing it on the floor. And he's cursing out. He's all upset. So I'm like, what's going on over here? So he was debating, should I go up to the guy or not? I thought maybe the guy might be dangerous or something. You know, but he said, okay, I'll take my chances. So he goes up to the guy and he said, excuse me, what's going on? What are you upset about? Can I help you in any way? So he says, so if you want to help me, you can give a curse. So the Rav says, well, listen, I mean, we don't curse so quickly, but exactly who do you want me to curse? Like, well, what's going on? So he says, not who, what? I want you to curse the guy's shoelace. So he's like, okay, curse your shoelace. Now, would you like to explain yourself? So what happened? This guy would go on a daily walk, exercise walk, a few kilometers, a long walk every early morning, you know, for exercise. So this morning, he was taking his usual walk, morning walk, and all of a sudden his shoelace became untied, and they came out. You know, sometimes it comes out of the holes, whatever. And okay, it happened. So he sat down on the bench and took off his shoe and wanted to relace it, but somehow it was hard for him to get the. It was a little bit, you know, fraying, you know, the lace, and he was trying to get it through the holes, the eyelets, and he was having a tough time. And then, terrible thing happened: the plastic end of the shoelace came off. Now, when that happens, forget it. Okay, and he's trying to force it through the hole, the lace. He couldn't do it. And the guy flipped out. He was so frustrated that he just took the shoelace, ripped it, and then that's when the Rav had seen what had happened. Ripped the shoelace, took his shoe off, threw his shoe down. Anyways, a person doesn't see things dumb. You have to take lessons, take a lesson of Musar, you know. So, what was the lesson of Musar over here? It says, you know, we do things every day, and we take them for granted. Well, little things. Like, you know, when do we thank Hashem? We thank Hashem, always a big thing happened, a big miracle or a big day in our lives, you know, thank you Hashem for that. But everyday things we take for granted. So putting a shoelace in, big deal, right? What do you mean big deal? This guy almost went nuts because of it. He almost, you know, lost his mind just to be trying to get a shoelace in. Okay, maybe the guy was a little bit, you know, whatever. But still, you know, it mamas drove him crazy. So you see, that simple act is not so. It needs Siyata Deshmaya. Everything needs Siyata Deshmaya. So you have to thank Hashem for even the little things, not only the big things that happen in our life. There's a midrash says by the Korban Pesach, Kacha Tochlu also. It says, this is how you should eat the Korban Pesach. It says, V'chipazon. You have to do it quickly. So the Midrash says, "Ki yotzei drachim." Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer limda Torah derech eretz liyotzei drachim sheyu mizurizim. That the Midrash is teaching us that people that go out on the way, you should do it with alacrity. You should do it quickly, mizurizis, when you leave. What does that mean? He explains. He says the human nature is that when a person is leaving a place, it's been for a while or whatever. So you tend to it's hard to leave. It's hard to part. It's hard to leave the place you're at. You know, where do you see it often? At the airport. You go to the, you know, departures. You know, I always say that probably one of the saddest places that you can be is in a departures lounge of an airport. And probably one of the happiest places a person can be is in an arrivals. And it kind of rivals, oh, I'm so happy because, oh, I'm seeing, you know, you go to the departures, everybody's crying, no, you know, I don't want to leave. And one day they walk the person down, you know, we're all the way to the gate, and they're standing there with them, and this, and still talking, waiting, oh, you know, until the last announcement, they go, and it's hard to leave, hard to part. So too, Chal Yisrael, even though, you know, where were they leaving from? They're leaving from Egypt, where the 210 years of captivity, of slavery, etc. But still, there was a chashash that they were there, they made their lives there, right? And it's a little bit hard to leave. So therefore, limda Torah te'erecher, Torah Hashem said, no, b'chipazo. You have to go quickly. It's hard, but no, when you're leaving, you got to just break the ties, do it quickly. It's a joke, there's They say, why isn't the Mashiach, why isn't he coming? You know, waiting all these years, where's the Mashiach? So they say, the Mashiach's ready to come. He was already a long time. He's still waiting for his wife. Okay, right. So, similarly, there's a story that one Erev Shabbos, this couple were supposed to travel to their parents or whatever who lived. They were living in Bnei Brak. The parents were up north in Rechasim. It was a gezunta trip, and I guess it was the summer. And they called at noontime the taxi to arrive at 4 o'clock at their house, so they could go from there to up north. Fine. So the taxi was called to come at 4. So, you know, we didn't have too much to do because they weren't making Shabbos. You know, they were going away for Shabbos. Then, all of a sudden, at 3:15, 45 minutes before the taxi was supposed to show up, they get a call from a neighbor. This woman calls this wife, and says, I hear you're going away for Shabbos. So, I would like to know, would we be able to borrow your apartment? Because we have friends coming, whatever. So my wife, she said, sure, no, why not? You know, I'm not going to be here, please. Okay, so that would have been fine, but the only problem is, he said, my wife, she's a very, very particular person. Everything has to be tip-top. And here, she's having people come stay in the apartment. So she immediately started Pesach cleaning. You know, cleaning everything, the brushing the floor. That normally, you know, okay, we just close up the house and leave for Shabbat. But no, the people are coming. So we started scrubbing the windows, scrubbing the doors. She couldn't just leave the house. You know, it had to be tip-top. Anyways, he said, I'm looking at my watch. The cabs, this is at 3:15 when they call. The cabs are leaving at 4. We still have to, you know, still pack up and get ready and leave for Shabbat. And my wife's busy cleaning. Now, normally, you know, I would have just like, I would have been furious. I would have, you know, screamed that, you know, what's going on? You know, you can't do this. We have to leave. The taxi's going to be here any minute, whatever. But, you know, I decided I'm going to control myself and I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to control myself. As hard as it's going to be, I know. But I didn't open my mouth. Clean, she's cleaning, whatever it might be. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So she's cleaning. All of a sudden, there's a honking. Look outside, taxi standing there, look at my watch, it's 4 o'clock, right on time. My wife's still in the middle of her pace of cleaning. Cleaning, it's 4 o'clock, taxi's here. Now, normally, I would have just exploded. You know, what's going on? The taxi's here, anyway, you know. But I decided I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to control myself. Didn't get angry, nothing. I just walked down, went to the taxi, said, we're not ready, unfortunately, to go. And I understand you came, you know, to take us now. So tell me a price, whatever you want. I'll pay you and I'll just have to go later with some other taxi. But I understand I don't want to cause you a loss. You know, you came for us. So whatever he told me, I paid him. He was happy. You know, he got the money without having to make a trip. And I was happy that I controlled myself. Went back upstairs, whatever. My wife's still finishing off her last cleaning things. And eventually, by 4:20, she finished, and we got our stuff together. Luckily, we were able to get another cab, and we left a little bit late, but we made it on time, went to the parents. So he said, that Shabbos was mamash, a Shabbos that I'll never forget. I felt so like lofty, you know why? He said, because I did a great thing. I felt I did a great thing. I would have normally exploded. I know I would have, for sure. But I controlled myself, controlled my anger, and I felt so good about it that it was almost made my whole Shabbos. So he concludes the story and he says, okay, he said, I'm not saying 100, you know, make the connection 100%, but it's a little bit of coincidence perhaps that he says, my wife and I, we've been married a number of years. And didn't have any. We're not zochet any children. And it was very difficult. We lived in like a Haredi community, and everybody's with all their kids running around and everything. And we didn't have any children, and it's difficult. We suffered quite a bit. And sure enough, after this maisa of me controlling myself, my wife got pregnant. We had a child. So I knew that, you know, Hashem probably says, obviously we did something to deserve it. He says, who knows. I wouldn't be surprised because of this Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, I control myself. And that's chus. Hashem will bless us with a child. So he says that once a man came up to me on the street, and you can see he was upset at somebody. Let me bother him. So yeah, I said, what's bothering? So he explained what happened. He said, you know, I was in my car, and I was passing by, you know, this street, and all of a sudden I see a lady with a few kids and a whole bunch of different pekalach, you know, her bags were on the street or whatever, and she's waving to stop me. So I said, okay. So I pulled over to the side, and I said, what's up? So she said, well, because you can see I have the kids and the bags and this and that, and I got to get home. And I've been trying to, you know, hail down some cabs for the last while, and nobody wants to stop for me. No one wants to take me with all these things. Would you be able to do me a very, very big favor? And can you take me? Can you, you know? So he said, I felt, you know, Rahmanis on this woman, Ramatzos. So I said, okay, fine. So the door, she got in, whatever, all the kids, all the pechalach, whatever, everything. Finally, we got loaded up. She closed the door and everything. And so I said to her, okay, you know, just put on your seatbelt, you know, if you don't mind, make sure you put on your seatbelt. So it's fine. Okay, so I put on my seatbelt, and we start going, right? As it happened, she wasn't so zriza, quick to put on her seatbelt. And, you know, she was busy with this, whatever, and she hadn't yet put on her seatbelt. And wouldn't you know it, exactly the... I just start driving, pull out of the spot... A cop pulls me over and notices that this woman that was sitting next to me and wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She hadn't put it on yet. I just pulled out right there, boom. So pulls me over, gives me a nice fat ticket for because the woman wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and which was a lot of money and points and the whole thing. Anyways, so after I got the ticket, I turned to the woman. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, but I expect you to pay for this ticket. You know, you didn't buy, I told you to put on a seatbelt. You didn't put on a seatbelt. And it was because of you. It wasn't me. I was wearing my seatbelt. And so I expect you to pay for this ticket. So she said to me, not so fast. She said, I'd like to ask a Shaila. I'm going to ask a Rav. And whatever the Rav tells me to do, I'll do. So I said, okay, fair enough. So I took her home or whatever, dropped her off. Sure enough, I get a phone call a couple hours later, and she says, okay, I spoke to the Rav, and the Rav says, I don't have to pay Pater. So he said, then said to Rav Zilberstein, he said, now you know why I'm upset? He said, a chutzpah. You know, it's bad. Bad, I know, I was so nice enough to take her in my car, schlep her, take her all the way home with her bags, with her kids, whatever, and now she doesn't have to pay for the ticket. I have to pay for the ticket on top. I mean, come on. So Silberstein said to him, she didn't ask me the Shaila, but if she would have asked me the Shaila, I would have also said she's pater. So he said, why? So he said, because the law is that you're not allowed to drive if people aren't wearing a seatbelt. So it was your responsibility not to drive if one of your passengers is not wearing your seatbelt. You're not allowed to pull out. Okay, he said, I understand. It wasn't really nice of her. She should have been quicker to put on her seatbelt. That's true. Okay. But Lamaisa, you know, tachlis, as far as paying, having to pay, in Basin, she's ptura. She doesn't have to, because it's your responsibility to make sure your passengers are buckled up. And you're not allowed to drive before they're buckled up. So therefore it's your fault, and so that was the end of that. He says we find a similar din which people also wouldn't, you know, understand the Das Torah so quickly, and a similar idea which would be in an elevator. He says, imagine if you have an elevator and there's a sign that it takes only 4 passengers. So door opens, 4 people get in, and then the 5th guy sees, he's in a rush, whatever, the elevator, he squeezes himself in and into the elevator, makes it 5. So there's too much weight, and there's Ellis, you know, they push the button, the elevator starts going and breaks on the way. So the shaila is, who has to pay for the repair? Who was in the wrong over here? So he said, most people would think, well, that's an easy question. That's a no-brainer. It's the fifth guy that went in, right? Because they're four, and he's the one that broke it. Says, well, see, that's not the case. Says, who's the one that has to pay for it? The guy that pressed the button. Why? Because it wasn't right for him to go in, that's true, but you don't press the button to work the elevator when there's too many people. The guy that pushed the button shouldn't have pushed the button. You don't push a button when there's five people and you only can take four. So you were at fault for pressing the button. It wasn't nice for the guy to go in. Okay, it was nice, but as far as who's being chayav, it was the guy that pushed the button. Right? Same idea over here. It wasn't nice for the woman to put on that she didn't put on her seatbelt. The maisa, it was his responsibility to, you know, make sure she did. A little maisa with a beautiful word from Rabbi Yashiv on the side. There was a group of kibbutznikim, right, from the non-religious kibbutz, and they were going on a tour of Yerushalayim, the old city. So one of the stops, like a heritage tour, you know, show them their roots or whatever. And one of the stops was the coastal. So they came to the Kosel Moravi, and there's a Daf Yomi Shir given there daily by Rav David Zicherman. And he gives a very exciting Shir, a very interesting Shir. And as it happens, these groups, there are about 50 of them, and these kibbutzik, they came and to the cult, and the Shir happened to be going on. So they started listening. And as it happened, it was like a really exciting shir, and they were standing there almost mesmerized, like they never heard a shir. This is a shir Torah. I never heard a shir Torah before, and it was so interesting. And they couldn't leave. They're standing there, stuck in their to their, you know, spaces, watching, listening. And so finally, after the shir was over, you know, they're saying, "Wow!" They said, "This is crazy." We wasted for an ideology. For an ideology, we wasted 50 years of sitting in the cowshed instead of enriching our lives with Shiri Torah. I said, listen, we could have been learning Torah all these years that we're with the cows in the cowshed. I said, this is for an ideology. And they're very upset. Anyways, that's the Maisa. There's a beautiful vor, Rabbi Yashiv. It says in the Pasuk, Vaya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem, ma avoda zos lachem. When your sons say to you, what is this avoda that you're doing? Pasuk in this week's Sedra, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Avav. So the Midrash says that on this Pasuk, there was a Besura Tovan Nispasru. The Klal Yisrael were given a very nice, good news. Lirot Banim Ubnei Banim. That they're going to have sons and grandchildren. And in fact, Rashi says in the next Pasuk on the words Vayikodam Bishtachavu, that they bow down and they gave thanks to Hashem on Besur Sabanim. You know, they're going to have these children. So the Midrash says they thank Hashem for having children. They're going to have children and grandchildren. So the question is quite obvious. That is, this Pasuk sounds familiar, right? Your children are going to say what? Ma avodah zos lachem. Where do we hear these words? What does it ring to our ears? These are the words of the Haggadah, right? By the Arba Banim. And which of the Arba Banim says these words? The Rasha. The Rasha says, Ma'avodas Oslachem. So, that's Besura Tova. That's the people are going to be happy. Thank Hashem. Why? Because they're going to have children. They're going to say, Ma'avodas Oslachem. That's a Rasha. They're going to be happy. They're going to have children. They're Rasha. What's going on? So that's the question. So Rabbi Yashiv says a beautiful answer. He says in Medayik that the Besura Tova was that they're going to see children and grandchildren. The answer to this question is in the second part, that they're going to see grandchildren. Meaning what? That yes, they might have children that are going to turn to their parents who are keeping the Torah and say, Ma avodah zochem, Rasha. He's a Rasha. And he's going to ask his parents, what's this avodah you're doing, the Torah mitzvahs? Ma avodah zochem. Yeah, you might have a Rashaim like that. But the good news is that Hashem is not going to have the Torah be forgotten, and you're also going to have grandchildren are going to say that. Meaning that your children are going to turn to you who are keeping Torah mitzvahs and say, Ma avodah zos lachem, what's this Torah mitzvahs business? They're going to go off the derech. But then they are going to have children, which are going to be your grandchildren, and they're going to say the same thing. They're going to turn to their parents and say, "Ma avodas oslachem? What's this crazy avodah you're doing? This avodah zara? You should be keeping the Torah. Ma avodas oslachem?" So it depends what's the avodah. Your children are going to say ma avodah the mitzvahs, but your grandchildren are going to turn to your children and say the same thing. What's this crazy avodah? You should be keeping the mitzvahs, and they're going to end up doing tshuva and keep the mitzvahs. So that's the Besorah Tova, that it was just the children, I wouldn't be a Besorah Tova. But the Midrash had and saying they're going to also have grandchildren. The grandchildren are going to say that's a sign that they're going to go back to the Torah. Let's end up, one last little he'ara. The end of the Parsha is Mitzvah's Tefillin. It's brought down by Elo Sal Yecha. In the Tavshin Samech Vav, year 2006, Lemin Yanam, there was a child born in China where he had two left arms. Okay, his two arms were born were on his left side. So somebody asked Shaila if he would have been Jewish. He obviously wasn't, but if he would have been Jewish, which arm would he put his tefillin on? So the answer given was that they learn it from the Hilchas Treifas in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shaila, if an animal has an extra leg, whatever, is a treif or not. So if the leg, or in our case the arm, comes out not in the normal place where the arm would normally grow from, so that is not considered an arm. This is considered something hanging called dildul. So Mamela, the arm that follows the shoulder, comes out from his shoulder like normal, that would be the arm that he puts some tefillin in. And the other one that, let's say, comes out from his armpit, the second arm, that is not the normal place where the arm comes from. And Mela, that's not considered a real arm. And he says, not only that, even if for some reason they would operate and take off the arm that comes out of the shoulder, the proper, what we would call the proper arm, then he wouldn't put on tefillin, even if he has one arm left on his left, since that second arm is just called extra extremity, a dildul. It's not considered the real arm. We should be zoichet, put our tefillin on our right arm, right, not as in right and left, but correct arm, and zoichet to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim as we put on our tefillin, which is part of the mitzvah. And as we say, Ki Meitzei Yitzchayim, Meretz Yitzrayim, Renu Niflos, Hashem should show us all the tremendous miracles that He saw, brought to us, that we saw in the time of the Yitzias Mitzrayim. We should see it soon, Bekarvi Amen. Amen. Amen.